word nerds, welcome to this most wonderful episode of the podcast called The Dictionary. I am Spencer, and I am the one bringing you this podcast. I'm recording this the day after Halloween. Oh, we went to a Halloween party. It was mostly Twin Peaks, but other David Lynch stuff. And then there were people who were not dressed up as David Lynch anything. And I was very disappointed. I went up to them and I said, "You got to get out of here because you are not dressed up like David Lynch something. You got to go." But they didn't leave. It was at a bar and it was very fun. And they're actually doing it again tonight because it's a Saturday. Halloween fell on a Friday and now we got Saturday and we're going to go do it all over again. All right, let's talk about the words. Today, the first word is the word. It kind of looks like Galio because it sort of seems French, but anyway, it is spelled G-A-L-I-O-T, but I believe it is pronounced Galiot, because it is a variation of Galiot, which has two L's, and so I had to just look over another column to find the actual pronunciation. Oh, geez, I gotta make a sound effect? Who made up this rule? Bomp. That's going to be the sound today. Now we have the word gall, G-A-L-L, first form. This one is a noun from before the 12th century. Number one, A, the synonym is bile, B-I-L-E, but especially bile obtained from an animal and used in the arts or medicine. Well, of course, I think I need to look up how do you use bile in the arts? This is what I want to know. Are people making art with this bile? Well, here's a thing that says, yeah, ox bile or ox gall has been traditionally and is still used in the arts as a surfactant, which is a wetting agent, and a dispersing agent in water-based media like watercolor, ink, and in the process of paper marbling. It helps control the flow and spread of pigments. Well, this is fascinating. Ox bile and ox gall. That's the same word. Of course, I had no idea about this because I am not doing those things. I did not know. And so, I mean, I guess technically, if you are doing those things and using this stuff in there, then, you know, maybe it's not so vegetarian or vegan for you. Just something to think about. All right. 1B. This is something bitter to endure. What do you bit with some? Maybe something literally bitter. Maybe some people might think that coffee would be called gall in this situation because it's too bitter for them. Maybe even extremely dark chocolate is too bitter. Ooh, I've had some of that 95% chocolate, and I'm like, I get no enjoyment out of this very, very dark chocolate. This is like gall. It's like bile. Ugh, I don't want to do that. But maybe this is also something, maybe not a physical taste in your mouth. You have bitter to endure. You have to endure. Maybe going for a long run could be gall to somebody because they have to endure it and they don't want to. They're like, this is gross. I don't want to do it. 1C, bitterness of spirit. Well, now we have taken it to a whole other level. The synonym is the word rancor, R-A-N-C-O-R. Was that the name of that monster in Star Wars? I think it would have been the third one. Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi? Is that what it's called? I think so. The rancor, that when he goes underneath Jabba the Hutt's thing and that big monster comes out, I think that might be the rancor. So the rancor has a bitterness of spirit. Is bile bitter? You know that somebody in history has tasted bile, whether they chose to or not, somebody has tasted it. And so I have to assume that maybe it tastes bitter, and that's why we have these bitter definitions. But But maybe if they didn't literally taste it, or maybe if it doesn't literally taste bitter, maybe they're just like, oh, that's this gross thing that came from your body, and I'm just going to assume it's gross and bitter. Okay, bitterness of spirit. So you can say that somebody has gall because their spirit is bitter, but we got more definitions. We got number two, brazen boldness coupled with impudent assurance and insolence. Wow, there was a lot there. Brazen boldness, so you are like too bold. You're very bold. Maybe brave, I don't know, but you're like, ah, I'm going in, I'm doing my thing. Screw you, I'm brazenly bold. But also, that is coupled with impudent assurance and insolence. Impudent assurance and insolence. So incredibly assure of yourself, bold and having assurance. I think that those go hand in hand. And insolence, like you don't care about anybody else. Would that be kind of a way to describe insolence? So, yeah, when somebody says you've got gall, you're like, it's like, You don't care about anybody. You just care about yourself. You're maybe too confident. Yeah, I don't know. Those sorts of things. That would be the way that I think I hear the word gall used more often. When you're talking about somebody, when you're describing somebody in this way, I'm sure the lexicographer had a fantastic time coming up with that definition. Brazen boldness coupled with impudent assurance and insolence. Pretty good. To see more synonyms, go see the word temerity in the T's. Okay. This word, gall, is akin to the Greek word koli or kolos, which means gall or wrath. Also from the Old English giolu, which means yellow. So is bile yellow? I think it might be. Ugh, gross. And there's more with the word yellow. Please don't make me taste any bitter gall, any bitter bile. I don't want to, please, and thank you. All right, it is sound effect time. And what was the sound that I made? Why can I never remember the sound that I made at the beginning? It was like a... Bromp? Sure? Okay. Now we have the second form of gall. This is a noun from before the 12th century. Number 1A is a skin sore caused by chronic irritation. Now, I don't know if I've ever heard of this. I imagine maybe somebody with eczema might have, their skin is all dry and inflamed, and maybe if there's a lot of scratching or something, then maybe they'll get one of these skin sores. But it's an old word from before the 12th century. And so I imagine that there were many different types of illnesses that caused people to have skin problems, and then they got these sores, and they called them gall. And there is a little bit of etymology here, but you know, maybe if it got all yellow and gross, and maybe there was pus coming out, maybe they were like, well, that's like the bile, and that's gall, so then they just called it a gall. But what else do we have? We have 1B, a cause or state of exasperation. A cause or state of exasperation. Now, why is this a 1B? How is it connected to the skin sore? Well, your skin sore would probably be in a state of exasperation. It's all tired and worn away. But I guess you yourself can be in a state of exasperation called gall. You can call, I'm so tired. I went to a Halloween party last night and I didn't get to bed until after 3 o'clock and I didn't get a lot of sleep. So I'm in a state of gall. And we have one more, number two, which is archaic. The synonym is the word flaw. It's old. So I don't know, maybe the skin sore was kind of they saw that as a flaw, or maybe it's a different definition of flaw. I don't know. But what I do know is that there is some etymology. This is from way down to the Latin galla, G-A-L-L-A, which means gallnut. gallnut. Are we going to see this word gallnut in a future episode? Let's see. Where would that be? We got a lot of G-A-L-L words. So many. Let's see. Where is gallnut, if it is here at all? How does the alphabet go? There it is. I found it. Okay, so in a few episodes, we will get to gallnut and other interesting words. Okay, so that's where this is from. I don't know. Is it related to the skin irritation, the exasperation, the flaw? What is a gallnut? I don't know. Blar? The third form of gall is a verb from the 14th century starting with transitive. Number one, to fret and wear away by friction. Ooh, the synonym is chafe, as in the loose saddle galled the horse's back. Well, then please make the saddle tight. Tighten up that salad. Salad? Tighten the salad so it's not irritating the horse's neck. Tighten the saddle because the horse is not going to appreciate being chafed in that way, being galled in that way. The other example is the galling of a metal bearing. Maybe it's, you know, after many years of this thing opening and closing or whatever it is, eventually it's worn away, the metal bearing. This seems directly related to the skin irritation. Maybe if there's a lot of scratching or whatever it is, there's something going on with the skin. It's being chafed and it's very irritating. And so it was galled. Galled. Number two, the synonyms are irritate and vex. So possibly the physical irritation on the skin, but also like, oh, that child is really galling me. I am so vexed by their irritation. But we have an actual example. Sarcasm galls her. Sarcasm galls her. It vexes her. It irritates her. She doesn't like sarcasm at all. She doesn't care for it. She doesn't like people to be using sarcasm. She would like people to be. Maybe she is on the neurodivergent scale and she doesn't quite understand sarcasm and she thinks that people should be a little bit more literal with what they're saying. And so it galls her. I don't think I've ever heard this word used as a verb before. We have intransitive also, number one, to become sore or worn by rubbing. The skin got galled by sarcasm. Number two, the synonym is the number two definition for the word seize. Like, are you seizing something, taking something? Or is it a seizing up? Like when my back goes out, my muscles seize up? What sort of seize are we talking about? Well, there's no additional etymology, so maybe this is related to gallnut, or would it be related to gall, wrath, yellow? I don't know. Someday we'll learn, maybe. Gall. Well, hey, look at this. We have a fourth form of gall. It is a noun from the 14th century. It is an abnormal outgrowth of plant tissue, usually due to insect or mite parasites or fungi, and sometimes forming an important source of tannin. And it says to see the gall wasp illustration, which is over here on the next page over. We have to wait 4 episodes before we talk about the gall wasp. But there's a gall in the picture with the gall wasp. So that will be a fascinating thing to learn about. But we do know that this gall is it's a plant tissue. It's a thing growing on a plant, and the gall wasp is connected. It's related to it somehow. What? How? What does the gall wasp do with the gall? I don't know. We'll learn someday. Okay, so it's an abnormal growth on a plant, and maybe you can look at, when you're walking down the street, you could be like, look at that gall. It vexes me so. I am galled by the gall. All right. Don't know why it's called gall. It is from the Latin, gala, which we learned that means gall nut. So, maybe it's like a, looks like a nut on a tree, but it's not. It's just an abnormal growth. I will learn about that soon, too. Okay, anything else about that? Nope, we're going to go blom. We now have, I think it's just Galla again. Galla. This is capital G-A-L-L-A. So it's not the party Galla. This is a different Galla. This is a noun from 1875. The synonym is the word aromo, O-R-O-M-O. There is a cafe in Chicago called Aromo Cafe. There might be a couple, actually. But I don't know what aromo means. And now I think it means gala, but I don't know what gala means with a capital G. But I do know that this word is from Amharic and G's. Are these languages? Is G's G-E-E-Z? Is that a language? What is this language? Amharic seems also old. Yes, G's. Well, that's probably not how it's pronounced. It's classical Ethiopic. It's an ancient Semitic language from the Horn of Africa that is no longer spoken as a native language, but survives today as the liturgical language of the Ethiopian and Eritrean Orthodox churches. Okay, and the other one was Amharic, which I think I've heard of that, but I also don't know much about that. So I assume it's similar. Yes, Semitic language spoken primarily in Ethiopia. Okay, so this gala is one of their words, and it means aromo, I guess. Blom. Okay, now we have a very fun double scientific word. It is galamitria. No, galamine, that's the end of that first word. Galamine, second word, triethiodide. Triethiodide. First word is G-A-L-L-A-M-I-N-E. Second word is T-R-I-E-T-H-L, no, I-O-D-I-D-E. Triethiodide. 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 Galamine triethiodide. Noun from 1951. This is a substituted ammonium salt, C30H60I3N3O3, that is used to produce muscle relaxation, especially during anesthesia. And it is called also just galamine. Just the first word, galamine, because that second word is a little bit of a tongue twister, probably for some people. Triethiodide. Not for me! Okay, well, any etymology, it's from the gal in pyrogalol, the amine from amine, that, and then plus the tri prefix and the eth prefix and the iodide, and then you get galamine triethiodide. Okay, so it helps in muscle relaxation during anesthesia. That is the most important thing that you need to know about that, and I'm definitely going to test you about that later. Am I going to test myself, or am I going to test you? Are you going to test me? Blom. We now have the first form of the word. You can pronounce it gallant or gallant or gallant. G-A-L-L-A-N-T. I've never heard of somebody say gallant. I've heard gallant and gallant, but I don't think I've heard of gallant. This is a noun from the 14th century. Number one, a young man of fashion. You must be fashionable, and you must be a young man, to be a gallant, gallant, gallant. So I guess I cannot be, because I am not young, and I am also not of fashion. I need a little help to be of fashion. Is my collar good? Speaking of fashion, couldn't tell. Now, we also have number two, A. The synonym is ladies' man. A ladies' man? Well, you know, they are young and fashionable. Then maybe the ladies will like him, this gallant. Oh, back in the day, there was that Saturday Night Live sketch turned movie called the Ladies' Man, and I had such a good time impersonating that character because he had such a wonderful lisp. The Ladies' Man. You know, has it aged well? I don't know, but I love me some Tim Meadows, and this character was just so silly and so funny, and, you know, maybe it wouldn't fly now, or maybe it would fly more now. I'm not sure. But, yes, just having a, maybe some episode, I'll do a whole episode talking like the Ladies' Man. A whole episode talking like the Ladies' Man. Oh, good times. Anyway, so yes, that is a gallant. But we also have to be, the synonym is suitor. So this would maybe be, one example would be a man courting a woman, say, trying to suit them, be their suitor, saying, hey, I would like to have a relationship with you. Maybe we could get married or something, you know, whatever we're doing in the 14th century. And number 2C, the synonym is paramour. I have definitely heard of this word. I don't think I would have been able to come up with what it is just based on just hearing it blindly. But I do see the word amour in there, which of course means love. And, you know, when we have these other definitions, suitor, ladies' man, you can sort of get an idea of the world that we're talking about here with this word gallant or gallant. So, I'm not going to go look up what paramour means, but, you know, something about love. And that's all we need to know. All right. Well, that is a little bit of an older use of this word, this person who is all of these things, young man of fashion, ladies man, suitor, paramour. But now we have a couple more forms of this word, maybe ones that we are a little bit more familiar with. Blah. The second form is pronounced gallant, usually in sense two, but it is gallant or gallant in sense three, usually. So I guess I need to change my pronunciation based on whichever definition I'm reading. So, but what would number one be? Does one go back and forth? Is one either one? This, by the way, is, there's so much information. It's an adjective from the 15th century. Number one, I guess, could be pronounced all three ways. It is showy in dress or bearing. The synonym is smart, like, ooh, you're dressed so smartly today. Well, thank you very much. In fact, I'm a little bit more fashionable than I usually am today. I'm not wearing one of my graphic tees, so maybe today I'm a little bit more gallant than I often am. Shall I keep this up in my future days? Shall I try to be a little bit more fashionable? I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so showy, but I'm not very showy. Not at all. No. 2A, so this would be pronounced gallant. 2A, the synonyms are splendid and stately, as in a gallant ship. Look at that ship out there. It is so gallant and lovely. And look, it just makes me feel like it's stately and splendid. I get such splendid feelings looking at that ship out there on the pier, ready to go on its journey across the Atlantic. And it's called the Titanic. Number 2B, the synonyms are spirited and brave. The example is gallant efforts against the enemy. If you're brave, you're probably very spirited. Gallant, yes, I definitely think of brave. Is there a character, a Disney character movie or something, gallant? I don't know. I feel like there's something out there. But yes, they're very brave and spirited, and they're there to go capture the enemy because the enemy is terrible and doing bad things, and so we must take them down. 2C, so still gallant. This is nobly chivalrous and often self-sacrificing. You would think that somebody who is spirited and brave might also be chivalrous. Maybe put down your cape, on a puddle to let people walk over it so they don't mess up their shoes and their dress and everything. I was watching something. Was it a movie or a show that took place a while ago? And there were some young men putting boards across the muddy road. And so the women didn't have to get their clothes all dirty. And I don't remember what that was, but it took place in the a little bit older days. So they were being very gallant when they were being chivalrous. I think it is good. And self-sacrificing. Maybe you just should lay down. You should just lay down in the puddle, and so they can just literally walk on you. That would be the most gallant, I think. Okay, number three. This would be pronounced gallant or galant. It is courteously and elaborately attentive, especially to ladies. Courteously and elaborately attentive, attending to their every whim and want and need, getting stuff that they want, saying, hey, can I get you something? Can I do something for you? I'm being very gallant right now. I hope you appreciate how gallant I am being right now. And of course, we see a connection to this, this word, these adjectives, and also the previous form, which was the noun, which was, you know, the ladies' man and the young man of fashion. Hopefully, the young man of fashion is willing to be gallant and sacrifice his fashion for the ladies if they are a ladies' man. This whole section is incredibly genderized. To an extent, you know, of course, you could be courteously and elaborately attentive, especially to ladies, if you are a lady yourself or a non-gendered person. But, you know, this history, we're catching, history is catching up to the future. Ooh, that's an interesting concept. The synonym, more information, synonym information is at the word civil, C-I-V-I-L, like nice, civil, gallant. Gallantly, that is an adverb. So, do we have some etymology for this? We have, this is from Middle French, gallant, from the verb galer, which means to have a good time. To have a good time? Interesting. This is also from Old French, gale, which means pleasure, of Germanic origin, akin to the Old English, wella, which means wheel, W-E-A-L. Is that how you pronounce that word, wheel? I don't think I know that word. But maybe it's related to pleasure and fun. Something that we all should have, I hope. I hope we all get that. There is more at the word wheel. We have to wait a long time for that. So if we're connecting the etymology to the word, the definitions, having a good time, maybe if you're, you know, being attentive to the ladies, you're trying to have a good time with them and have some pleasure with them. And so that's how this is all connected, basically. Okay, now, blah. The third form is pronounced gallant or gallant. None of this gallant pronunciation, none of that nonsense. We are emphasizing the second syllable here. Gallant, verb from 1672, starting with transitive, number one, to pay court to, like I'm going to like pay a visit, but specifically in parentheses it says maybe you are paying court to a lady. The ladies have been brought back into the picture. They never left the picture. The synonym is attend, like, so it's maybe more than just pay a visit to. Maybe this is about being courteously and elaborately attentive to. I'm going to attend to my lady, put my cape down so you don't have to walk in the puddle, the mud. Why is it a cape? I don't know. Isn't it always a cape? What else? A jacket? Yeah. The example is used, no, you, is it used or used to? Used to gallant her in his youth. He used to gallant her in his youth. That is a quote from Washington Irving. So back in the day when he was young, maybe he was a young man of fashion, this gallant would gallant her because he would pay her visits and attend to her every need. Number two is obsolete. It is to manipulate in a modish manner, and the thing or the person that you are manipulating is a fan. But what kind of fan is this? Is this the person who is a fan of a sports team or a thing? A fanatic? Or is it literally a fan that spins? Manipulated in a modish manner. Modish is M-O-D-I-S-H. And what is that? Is it like you're modifying a thing? Or is it some other definition of modish that I don't know? Well, it's obsolete, so who the hell cares? Okay, so now we have intransitive, which is to pay court to ladies. To pay court to ladies. To visit them, attend to them, and gallant them. But you better go gallant the ladies. They deserve it. Blow! Now we have the word gallantry. This is a noun from 1613. Number one is archaic, and it is gallant or gallant appearance. So maybe this is when you are all dressed up. You're looking very fancy and showy and fashionable. So you would have gallantry in that way. Some days I have gallantry and some days I don't. Number 2A, an act of marked or marked courtesy. So, oh, that courtesy, I'm marking that down in my little book of courtesy. When I see marked courtesy, I have to mark it down. There was so much gallantry when the person put their cape down so the person wouldn't have to walk in the mud. I shall note that. I shall mark it down. 2B. Courteous attention to a lady. Specifically, it's like you can't give courteous attention to anybody else and have gallantry. It must be to a lady, says the dictionary. Okay? I'm glad we got that settled. I was very confused. 2C. Amorous attention or pursuit. This is where you are giving somebody attention. You are pursuing somebody because you like them. You love them. You want to get to know them in all the different kinds of ways. So you, the gallantry, you are pursuing them. You are doing gallantry when you are pursuing them, giving them attention, I guess, in a love way. This word is all about the love, as everything should be. Number 3. Spirited and conspicuous bravery. Spirited and conspicuous bravery. So, you know, similar to what we had before, the adjective spirited and brave. And this is not sneaky bravery. No, this is when you're very open about your bravery and your spiritedness. And, you know, so we're seeing these two different things. One about bravery, one about paying attention and helping the women, the ladies. And so I guess they can go hand in hand. I mean, they don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. Of course, you don't have to be brave to be attentive to the ladies. But, you know, sometimes it does take a little bit of an effort. You got to be maybe brave to go up to them and talk to them. That takes some effort. It can be kind of scary for certain people. So there's a connection there. Okay, now, no additional etymology, so I have to go. Blah, blah. We have the word gallate or gallate. Would that be the correct gallate, I believe? G-A-L-L-A-T-E, gallate. This is a noun from 1788. It is a salt or ester of gallic acid, which we shall learn about in a couple episodes. A salt or ester of gallic acid is a gallate. Brow. Next is, you knew this was coming, gallbladder. One word noun from 1676. This is a membranous muscular sac in which bile from the liver is stored. Why are we storing the bile? What is the gallbladder? What are the secrets of the gallbladder? Why must we hold on to this bile? Where does it go when the gallbladder is done with it? Does it do something with it? Does it turn into something else? I know that you can live without a gallbladder. What is the problem? What do you got to do without a gallbladder? Do you have to take medication? Do they have to put in a fake gallbladder to store the liver bile? I don't know. Is it just, what happens? How full does it get? How much does it hold? These are all the questions that I have. I've been thinking about them for days and days and days. But the dictionary does not give me any answers. The gallbladder. And it's muscular. It's a muscular sac. And it's got membranes. Those are the important things. I just imagine it as this ball, this little ball somewhere in your belly, holding on to bile for dear life. A ball holding bile. Next is, it's the word galleus. G-A-L-L-E-A-S-S. Galleus. Noun from 1544. This is a large, fast galley used especially as a warship by Mediterranean countries in the 16th and 17th centuries and having both sails and oars, but usually propelled chiefly by rowing. I imagine that I have probably seen some of these in movies or something similar. All those people rowing. You know, you got rows and rows of people rowing. Is that why they're called rowing? It's called rowing because it was rows of people? Which came first? I don't know. So it's a warship. And I guess we'll learn about galley. Galley in the next episode. Yep, there's galley. It's a boat. So this galleus is a type of that. Type of that thing. Okay, now we're going to move on to... This thing has evolved. I don't know what's happening anymore. I never do know what's happening. We have the word galleon with an O-N at the end. Noun from 1529. It is a heavy, square-rigged sailing ship of the 15th century to early 18th centuries, used for war or commerce, especially by the Spanish. I thought this was a coin. A galleon? Maybe there's a different coin that has a similar name? I'm not sure. So this is an old Spanish word, or it's from the old Spanish word, galleon. That sounded kind of French. It doesn't really say what that means, but it definitely seems related to galley. It's a boat. It's a big war boat. And that is galleon, galleon. And now we shall move on to our very last word, blah. It is galleria, G-A-L-L-E-R-I-A, noun from circa 1901. This is a roofed and usually glass-enclosed promenade or promenade or court. And where might you find this? It might be at a mall. The galleria, well, that just sounds so fancy. When we get separated, we shall. When you are done going to your store and I'm done going to my store, we're all done going to the stores that we want to go to, we shall meet in the galleria. It has a roof over it. You can recognize the galleria because there is a roof. But it's also enclosed by glass. Maybe there's glass on the roof. Maybe there's glass around. And it's a promenade or a court, and we're in a mall, as you know. And so we should meet at the galleria. This is an Italian word, and it just means gallery, which will be the first word in the next episode. And we have a bunch of definitions for gallery, because there's so many different types of galleries, including the galleria. All right. You know what time it is. You know it's coming. It's coming. What's coming? It's coming. What's coming? It's the word of the episode. It's here. Today we had... Galleot, gall, galla, galamine, triethiodide, gallant, we have three forms of that, gallantry, gallate, gallbladder, galleus, galleon, and galleria. Well, I don't know. I think just because it's fun, I don't know. Is it fun? Who knows what fun is even? I shall pick gallant, the ladies' man, because why not? Because it's just funny. They call me the ladies man, but I prefer the name Gallant. I don't know. Didn't really know what to do about that one. I just thought it would be funny to bring the ladies man back into the world. Okay, it's movie time here on this podcast about words. The next movie I watched was Ms. 45. This is from 1981. It is very 80s, and the short story is that it is a rape revenge movie. So it's in the horror world. But the lead character, I don't think she speaks. I think she is mute for some reason. I don't remember if they explained why or if she talked at some point. I can't really remember. It's been a while since I saw this. But yeah, very interesting, very 80s. And if you like that sort of thing where, you know, she's taken the world into her own hands and maybe taken down some people in the meantime, then maybe you'll enjoy this very old movie. Okay, that is going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. I hope you are having a good time. I hope that I'm bringing you what you need. I'm trying to bring more to this world of reading the dictionary. And, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.